Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for the way you have designed life. And Lord, in the walk of life that you want us to have, we're going to have many relationships. And I pray that you would help each of us to know how to have these relationships, why to have these relationships, what relationships we should run to, and what relationship we should run away from. Lord, help us to be people who define what we're doing with each and every one that you put us in contact with. And now, Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes as we look into your word and as we continue to find out how it is to live a life that's successful and functional in you, so that we would find the peace. We would find the joy, even in times of tough times. We leave ourselves in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'll always remember two characters who were on the Laverne and Shirley show named Lenny and Squiggy. I know you don't know them, but I know these guys. I grew up with Lenny and Squiggy, all right? That was good television, all right? These two guys were two goofballs who didn't seem to fit in anywhere in their world. They tried desperately to be greasers, but they couldn't really pull it off as they weren't very cool. They tried desperately to be hard guys, tough guys, but they really didn't have the stomachs for that. So in the end, they started their own club called the Lone Wolves. The two of them would stand apart from everyone else and be one of a kind, fit in nowhere, have no friends, lone wolves. Everyone on the show, and even us viewers, knew how ridiculous the whole concept was for these two guys. But I have never forgot Lenny's lone wolf jacket. Well, that idea of being a lone wolf has stuck in my head ever since. I think we all have had a time in our lives when we had difficulty with people, when we're caught up in a relational situation that's hard, and our basest response is to cut and run, head out on our own, and become a lone wolf. Now, maybe it's times like these. My parents are driving me crazy, and I don't know what to do. I'm gonna leave and be a lone wolf. On my own, with no one to answer to. Or perhaps this. I have a friend who isn't supportive of the things that I'm doing and tells me so I'm going to be a lone wolf, give up on friends, not have anybody that I need to listen to. Perhaps this. I get hurt deeply by a person that I love or respect, so I'm going to be a lone wolf. Guard my heart from ever having that happen again. I think we've all had moments when we wanted to join Lenny and Squiggy's club and become lone wolves. Well, gang, the truth of the matter is, if we want to walk a walk of life and not a walk of death, we need others. We need what we'll call the church. A structured group of believers. You see, gang, God didn't design the lone wolf concept. He did not design that. Instead, God designed what he calls the body concept, or the church model. So tonight, we will learn lone wolf hunting and see why we need to bring to extinction the lone wolf idea inside any of us that it's still in. So let's see what the Bible tells us about this issue. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 12:12. Paul wrote this: "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ." Gang, here it is. When we come to Jesus Christ and when we accept his gift of forgiveness, it's a highly personal thing. It is you and God in a moment of intimacy that no one else is really involved in. But what we may not realize is the second that we lift up our bowed head and we wipe the tears away from our grateful eyes, we are placed on a team. We are part of a body, the Bible says. While God was forgiving our sins and washing our souls clean, he was grafting us onto a body of other believers. We would do well to understand the reasons for that if we are to walk a walk of life as we have been studying. So, point one, the walk of life embraces believers, pastors, and teachers in order to grow. Where do we get that? Ephesians 4, 12 through 13 tells us the job that a pastor has. Here's what it says. The pastor's job, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. The focus here can be placed on the knowledge and the maturity that we are to be getting from these teachers in our lives. You see, to walk in life and not walk in death, we must learn what is right and what is best and how to implement what is right and what is best into our lives. Now, we've already learned that our truth, our roadmap, what we're going to go by, must come from the Bible. And in the body God grafted you into, there will be Bible teachers. There will be all kinds of Bible teachers. These are people you can interact with, get instruction from. Now, as good as books are, and I love books, and as good as the internet is, I love the internet, and as good as radio is, we need face-to-face teachers in our body life if we are to walk well. Lone wolves, on the other hand, okay, lone wolves run the risk of not gaining any insight or moving into previous falsehoods because they're on their own. They run on their gut. That's what I think. Or they run on their already accumulated knowledge. And that can be dangerous because our gut and our accumulated knowledge, we picked up on a walk of death that we transferred over from. This was seen very clearly at the dawn of the 20th century. It says in 1874, German scientists developed a formula for a painkiller that they thought would be less addictive than morphine. Morphine was addictive. They found something they thought was better. They simply added two ingredients to morphine to change it, and they got a new painkiller out of this. Henrik Dresser, he was the head of Bayer drug development, Bayer aspirin, you know that. Well, he tried this new painkiller on animals, and he also tried it on humans. But he also tried it on himself, which might have been the problem, because he was very pleased with the results, and he decided it was good treatment for many of the ailments that people had, respiratory ones like bronchitis and asthma, tuberculosis, everything to a headache. The Bayer company started marketing it under its name, heroin. 1898. They derived the name from the German word heroisch. Often they placed their ads for this right alongside their Bayer aspirin advertisement with the merits that this new cough syrup, heroin, the sedative for coughs. This is actual. Bayer gave out free samples of heroin to doctors. The doctors prescribed it to their patients. Heroin quickly gained widespread acceptance in the medical community, which was unaware of its addictive qualities. Bayer was soon enthusiastically selling this drug in dozens of countries. Something odd happened. The doctors began noticing an inordinate demand for heroin cough syrup. Their patients, who didn't really seem to have respiratory distress, wanted the cough syrup. The scientists thought that heroin was not as addictive as morphine, but it turned out it was 2 to 3 times as addictive. It already metabolizes in the body, would go straight to the bloodstream and immediately cross the brain-blood barrier, causing immediate euphoria. Bayer stopped producing and selling heroin in 1913. It deleted any mention of it in their official company history. You won't find it. Heroin was then outlawed in 1929. Running on bad information, people may have caused more headaches than they cured. Gang, God has preachers and teachers and other believers actively involved in helping each other to grow in knowledge and faith. Thessalonians 5:11 says this, "Therefore encourage one another and build up one another just as you are already doing." So, point one. Now we're on to point two. Point two for lone wolf hunting. The walk of life with others will move you out of self-centered isolation. The walk of life with others will move you out of self-centered isolation. In Genesis 2:18, God says this, "It's not good that man should be alone." We all know that scripture. In that tiny sentence, "that is not good for man to be alone," God said a mouthful. Without others, man does not find what he is designed for. He does not find the walk of life. Instead, he walks blindly down a walk of death. Gang, I go to a lot of homes in my job as a firefighter. I go to a lot of homes. I go to several homes every single day that I work. Many of our jobs these days on the Linden Fire Department are medical calls. Lots of medical calls, and I go to them. I got a call one day for a difficulty breathing, and I responded with my crew in Fire Engine 2. When we entered the house, we were shocked. It was one of those hoarder houses. I'm sure it would rank up there with the ones that you see on TV. The home was lived in by a woman who had been alone her entire life. Her whole existence had been alone in that home with her animals. She talked to basically no one, and she desired to know and to interact with basically no one. As the medics came and did their job, I knelt down next to her and was just trying to calm her down. And she said to me, very quietly, she said, "I'm sorry, the place is a mess." And I said to her, "Well," I said, "you do have an awful lot of animals and an awful lot of stuff." And she said to me, "Yeah, but what else is there? What else is there? What else is there?" Lone wolves don't see much beyond themselves. They don't see much beyond the little world they're in. God said it's not good for people to be alone. In the body life that God chose for me, he designed that I would meet a wonderful girl named Kelly and that I would have children named Katie, Cody, and Caleb. Now, the truth is that of those four people, Katie, Cody, Caleb, and Kelly, Katie changed me the most. Katie is the one that changed me the most. She is my firstborn, and I can tell you that having a child and attempting to fulfill the responsibilities of a good dad will move you from self-centered isolation. It will. I liked sleeping when I wanted to sleep. I liked getting up when I wanted to get up. It was all about me. Baby Katie changed that. I liked, and the men on a motorcycle trip know this, I like traveling light and I like traveling fast. and I had to have nothing encumbering me as to where I need to go and when I need to stay and any of that. Baby Katie changed all that. I relish eating when I want to eat, and I like eating in peace and quiet, and especially when the food is hot, the way it's supposed to be served. I did not concern myself with anyone else in my self-centered isolation of being a single guy. I remember one day going up to Washington, and I was starving. I must have been working and didn't eat all day. So I went up to Washington, where we lived, and I picked up a big old pizza from Sal's. And I probably did it right. I probably went all the way with it, you know, like half plain for them and half with everything, every kind of meat you have. If it's meat, I want it on there, on my side. And now, I've always been good. I've never been the kind of guy to sneak a piece on the way home. I didn't do that. I never snuck a piece. I always waited till I got home, whole pizza, because you can't get it, you're busted. So you just can't win that one. Wait to get home. But I was starving, and I got out of the car, into the garage, into the kitchen, and I put that pizza down. I was ready to go, and that's when I heard Kelly say, "Don't forget, cut a piece up for baby Katie first." Have you ever cut pizza up? Get a pizza cutter, then you solved it. But I didn't know that then. I was at the fork and knife stage, wrestling with that thing. I'm starving, but baby Katie has to have a piece of pizza cut up for her. So I'm sitting there, and I'm in a mood because I want to eat the pizza, and I'm looking at this. Yeah. Pizza cold. I'm going to have mine cold. But you know what? Baby Katie killed off self-centered, isolated Drew. Gang, it's not good to be alone. What else is there? She asked. Everything is out there. And everybody is out there. And a whole new way of walking a road called the road of life instead of the road of death and self-centeredness and isolation. Point three of why we need to be lone wolf hunting. Walking with the church family helps you develop spiritual muscle. Ephesians 4:16 says this, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Gang, no one will ever walk a walk of full maturity in Jesus Christ just by attending worship services and being a passive spectator. Only participation in the full life of a body of believers builds spiritual muscle. The Bible uses the phrases one another and each other over 50 times in the New Testament. We are commanded in those times to love each other, pray for each other, encourage each other, admonish each other, greet each other, teach each other, accept each other, honor each other, bear each other, forgive each other, submit to each other, and devote ourselves to each other. Friends, your relationship with God is personal, yes, but God never intended it to be private. It is the interaction, it is the relationship with others that strengthens us. We learn to love, we learn to pray, encourage, admonish, greet, teach, accept, honor, forgive, submit, and devote by actually doing those things with one another. Is it messy? Yes. You bet it's messy, relationships. Is it difficult? Sure. Relationships are tough. Will we make mistakes and fall down? Yep. Absolutely. But gang, this is how we get strong at doing these things. I have a friend at the fire department who is a new fireman. and he's been on about 2 years, less than 2 years, and he was a big basketball player in college, went for a full-ride basketball scholarship, did 5 years in college, redshirted, and he was telling me about his basketball career and his training. He said, you know, one of the things I did was after the all-day practices, after every time we practiced, I had made myself a commitment early on, I'm going to stay after practice and shoot 100 free throws by myself. I just 100 extra free throws every single time we have practice, and I'll be the only one doing that. Well, my friend wound up leading his conference in free throw percentages because of that kind of effort. You see, we learn and develop muscle by doing these things. We grow by doing. And doing life with each other shows us how to do life itself. Point four, why we should be lone wolf hunting. Walking with each other will keep you from harm. Gang, none of us is immune to temptation. None of us is immune. Given the right situation, you and I are capable of any sin. It's true. God knows this. So, he put us in a body where we help each other stay on the right course. Hebrews 3:13. Encourage one another daily so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Gang, the best accountability we have is someone standing right next to us. That's the best accountability you're going to get. Perhaps that is why Jesus took his disciples and lived with them. God knows we are at our most vulnerable when we are lone wolfing it. In fact, that's how lions get their meal. What the lions will do is they'll chase a flock and they'll hope to get a gazelle or an impala or one of those animals. They try to get them, one, to cut off from the pack. And once one of those gazelles, once those cut off and goes on their own and goes the lone wolf route, it's going to lose. Billy Graham, one of the greatest evangelists of our time, he did a lot of traveling. And in his crusade ministry, he traveled the entire world. Much of the time that he was traveling, much of it, he had to travel without his wife. She was home taking care of the children. Billy had a rule. He had a rule from the very start. He would always book a room with two beds, and he always insisted on two tickets for everything. That's because Billy always took a person with him. Always. Never was without a person with him to keep him accountable. Every hotel room Billy Graham ever stayed in, he stayed in with a chaperone. Every dinner he ever went to, even if that guy had to stand on the side and watch, he had someone there watching him, keeping him accountable. Every meeting he went to with a chaperone. Ever heard of Billy Graham having problems? Nope. Well done. Lone wolves, gang, are easy prey for our enemy. We're easy prey for the enemy when we're lone wolfing it. We've already learned. We have a very powerful prey, enemy that is after us. Point five. We need one another to help us find our way back to the walk of life. Here's what it says in James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. My dear brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back again, you can be sure that the one who brings that person back will save that sinner from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. You see, it would be nice to think that everyone will walk successfully. It would be nice to think that everyone would be perpetually devoted to the walk of life. But the reality is, straying will happen. I did. The reality is, getting lost on the walk of life will happen. The reality is that giving up on walking the walk of life will happen. Now, God will always be, he will always be the drawing power. He will always be the beckoning force in calling his people to him and even back to him. But God does much of that calling through the people that we are a part of in our body. We care about one another because we are part of one another. We're connected in this organism called the body of Christ, our church. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says this: if one part of the body suffers, all the other parts suffer with it. Or if one part of our body is honored, all the other parts share its honor. Gang, when one of us falls, when one of us falls away or does something foolish, we all hurt. And that causes us to fight for that person, to bring them back into a walk of life so they can find forgiveness and get back living a life of freedom and success and joy. Point six, why we should be lone wolf hunting. A church family identifies you as a genuine believer. John 13:35 says this: your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Gang, the love that we have for our church body is an advertisement that God uses. It's an advertisement that God uses for the love that he has for the people of this world. People will look at us and see how we love one another, how we treat one another, how we enjoy being with one another, and say, wow, that's the kind of love God offers? Yes, and we need one another to do that. It's never a good thing to talk down a church. Never a good thing. Whether it's here or any other church. I am positive in 10 and a half years, you have never heard any church put down by me or by anyone else on my teaching team. That's because our love for the body of Christ includes all believers. And it is a broadcast to the world of how warm or how cold the love of Christ's family will be for them. We need one another to prove to the world around us that the walk of life we are on is a genuine, trustworthy, and valid offer for any who wish to get off the walk of death and onto the walk of life. So, in closing, if we are to walk a walk of life, we need to go on some lone wolf hunting. We need to go on some lone wolf hunting maybe inside of us. We need each other. We all need a church family. Remember how this all started with the verse. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Happy hunting.